All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. And as Edwin Starr just said, war, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing. The guest is Sandy Williams. It's Friday with Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, here's something I wanted to talk about, and the unpalatable truth in Ukraine. This is by Andrew Lathan. He's an opinion contributor to The Hill. Let me repeat that. The unpalatable truth in Ukraine. And the truth is, once we have eliminated all the impossible scenarios, the least improbable outcome of the war in Ukraine is a Russian victory. Note that I did not say such an outcome would be desirable. Russia's inevitable victory is anything but, nor did I say it would be total. The outcome of this war is going to fall far short of the Kremlin's initial hopes and expectations, nor finally did I say it would be without significant costs. Any conceivable Russian victory now will entail such a loss of blood and treasure that it will have to be judged. It will be a victory nonetheless, and we in the West had better come to grips with that hard truth. That sounds like you.
Well, I did. You know, I do.
And
think,
you said that.
I think the horror of this is going to settle in with historians when they go back, and if historians can look at it in an unbiased way and just say, okay, why did this happen, and was it avoidable, and what was the outcome of it? Because, it has to do with this concept of hegemony, of the sphere of influence of powerful countries. The United States, our Secretary of State Blinken talked about how this was the end of the period of hegemony, and a country like Russia isn't entitled to a sphere of influence. But of course, the United States is exercising its sphere of influence widely and broadly,
right,
much to the consternation of much of the rest of the world, who talks about this kind of big bully approach we have to going around the world and telling people how to manage themselves. And so this whole disturbance is really the result of the United States deciding to ignore and deny that Russia, this very strong, militarily strong country, was not entitled to what was a natural geopolitical sphere of influence, which would include Ukraine. Now, if we had left Ukraine to its own devices, it probably would be in much the same position as Georgia, a neighboring country who's got a strong alliance with Russia, is actually prospering better than Russia in terms of it has many dealings with the West. We aren't reading daily about our concerns about personal individual liberties in Georgia, that they have a government that's closer to the old Soviet system, but it's not doing badly. And so Ukraine could have been like that, but we decided to arm Ukraine and to give it false hopes that they would maybe be in NATO, and we gave them the Dutch courage to not negotiate with Russia, to give Russia what it wanted, which was promises of neutrality, promises that it wouldn't join NATO, promises of the kind of a relationship with Russia that would give Russia comfort about the situation. And so... Then when Russia surrounded Ukraine in December, January, Ukraine wasn't willing to negotiate the things that Russia was essentially wanting. And what they wanted was a recognition of the Crimea annexation by Ukraine, so that it would be recognized by the world that Ukraine and Sevastopol was actually a part of Russia. And they wanted to clarify the situation in the Donbas. And when Ukraine was unwilling to talk about those apparently at all, Russia decided that they needed to do something militarily. And so, you know, is that a violation of international law? Yes. But is it because of this lack of recognition of the hegemony of Russia? Yes. Because if we had left Ukraine to its own devices, not armed it, not given it this false hope, they would have negotiated with Russia and a solution would have been reached. And we could have probably been comfortable with it. But we decided that that wasn't going to be the way it would play out, and now it hasn't played out that way. Is the result of this war going to be pretty much what I described? I think it is. I think what this fellow is writing about is the unpalatable truth is that Crimea will be annexed by Russia. It will be the recognition of that will occur. There will be a recognition of the status of Donbass as being different and probably autonomous from Ukraine. And all of that has occurred with the unbelievable destruction of Ukraine and its infrastructure, the killing of many, many people, the killing of many Russians, for that matter, the exhaustion by Russia of many of its resources. Now, are we worried about that? Not so much. But we should worry about the ultimate outcome, which is going to be the resegregation of the world, the reestablishment of an Iron Curtain, the recompartmentalization of the world, the potential for creating the hostility or latent hostility in the world, which will drive a new Cold War that has no rules associated with it, and a $1 trillion-plus U.S. defense budget, which will deprive the American people of child daycare and will deprive them of health care for all, and that it will exhaust the treasure of the United States in a way that didn't need to happen.
You know, Sandy, I saw something, read something the other day, and it was pro-America, and it was talking about that whole sector and the power of that sector has now swung more to, you know, to NATO and the United States. There's been this power shift since Russia went into Ukraine because now we're stronger now because we've got these other nations that have willing to agree. And so, in other words, we're going to supplant Russia's power.
Well, stronger
in that region.
Well, stronger for what purpose?
I mean, that's my point. Yeah, but to say those things, Sandy.
Well, and what worries me a lot about this is that, you know, we talk about the Ukraine. We have to fight this because if we didn't fight this, China, what will China do with Taiwan? Well, Taiwan's situation is even more remarkably like Ukraine, and it's not because of this potential for warfare. It's because of this ambiguity of the U.S. policy towards Taiwan and this kind of Dutch courage that we've created. We've armed Taiwan, but we've also agreed to a one-China policy. We've agreed to strategic ambiguity, and we know that we don't want to put troops on the ground or we're not going to put our airplanes in the air to fight on behalf of Taiwan. And so, but we're creating a circumstance in which we're arming Taiwan to the point where are they going to be willing to negotiate with China about how China's relationship with Taiwan is ultimately clarified? Because we all have agreed already that China has sovereignty over the island of Taiwan.
So Sandy, what this guy is talking about is what you've been talking about. And it doesn't matter how much more money America puts in the kitty, the outcome of what's going to happen in Ukraine is already predicted. So when do the American people say, hey, enough already?
Well, in fact, here's an analogy. It's a little bit like the gun problem in America. When you bring swords to an argument, you'll have a sword fight.
Right.
When you bring guns to an argument, you'll have a gunfight. When you bring weaponry and military alliances to a diplomatic conversation, you'll have a war. And so that's what worries me about what's happening now is we've decided to lean in the direction of NATO rather than the EU. Okay, the EU is related to NATO. EU is the mercantile analogy to it, but if we've decided to emphasize NATO, then we've essentially, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, because what Putin has been talking about is the danger that NATO is really a military thrust by an alliance which is essentially part of the American empire. Well, that's the way we're kind of talking now.
Well, yeah, because I was listening to Zelensky the other day, and he was saying, look, we're the threshold to Russia entering into Europe. And if you don't do something to help us, the next move is going to be Europe. Well, That's a hell of a jump, right?
Well, that's the mirror image of what Putin was saying. Putin was saying Ukraine is the first step on an invasion into Russia. And if NATO is established in Ukraine, then isn't that step one to essentially a destruction of the Russian Federation? And so this kind of talk, this kind of paranoid prediction of the future that everything is a domino for the next thing, is the way we get into major wars.
And we're you know, buying, and you still believe negotiations are going to be, it's only been 100 days. And that's easy for me to say, right? I don't live in Ukraine. But saying it's only been 100 days, it's probably been like 100 years to those people. Right.
Oh yeah.
I mean, and it the fighting is getting worse, as everybody predicted. Once it warmed up and the ground
well,
wars.
And also once it shifted to the Donbas, which is an entirely different geographic terrain, is the kind of thing that is open to, particularly tank warfare and artillery warfare. Yep.
But now it's hand to hand. Basically combat, and so that's why so many people are dying.
Well,
I got to go to a break. Hold the thought. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.